Well, we've had a great time in camp this week, and I was telling the workers, I gave a little devotional, and I was telling the workers, because we worked at a Bible college in the summer, we used the Bible college as a camp. So we wouldn't have just a few days of camp, we had 10 weeks of camp. And is that what we want to do next year? I've got some takers up here already, got their hands up. 10 weeks. Okay. I'm glad to hear that. Some of the adults are about to pass out. Wave those food container lids real fast. Yeah, that's it. Good. Okay. Well, it's good to have you here. Tonight we're preaching a message on building faith in God. And there's a reason we need to build faith in God, because as human beings we have a tendency to not trust in God. But we ought to trust in Him. I'd like for you to turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to read a couple verses here, and then we'll shift over to Isaiah a couple verses down in the passage. Isaiah 55, in verse 1, the Bible says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." In verse 3 it says, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." And then if you go down to verse number 6, notice what it says there. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, all this started when Adam and Eve were in the garden. They lived in a perfect setting. God had provided everything that they needed. And God only had one stipulation for them to follow, and they had use of everything else. They just could not partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, according to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But you know what happened, don't you? Just a few verses later, we don't know how much time, but a few verses later, Eve was looking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the serpent came up with Satan, coaxing it. And the next thing we know, the human race fell into sin and did what God asked them not to do. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 20, the Bible says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." That's repeated again in Proverbs 16:25. But since the time of the Garden of Eden, God has been seeking for man to come back into fellowship with Him. And, there's three very important thoughts in a couple of these verses that I've read. Verse 6 of Isaiah 55. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." So here we notice it's a timely invitation. You only have so much time that you can seek the Lord. That's the time you have here on earth in your physical life. So if you don't seek Him and find Him within your physical life, then, you know, you won't be with Him in eternity. And the second thing is, God will be merciful if we seek Him. It says that in the verses very plainly. He will have mercy upon him. And He will abundantly pardon, you see. And of course, that means that He'll forgive any sin, any time. Someone may say, are the ways and the thoughts of man really that much different from the ways and thoughts of God? Well, I think they are. I think they are. And in verse 8 and 9 it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So there's a big difference between what God thinks and what we think. And I'd like for us to just look at some examples of this tonight, because I think that we need to realize how far away the thinking of man is from the thinking of God. Man says, well, we're basically good. That's what man says. You know, I think I'm pretty good. It's just I have a few faults. That's the way man looks at it. But God says, now notice what God says. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Romans 3:23. The Bible says there, for all have sinned. You see, God's view of man's condition is much different than man's view. Man says, you know, maybe I got some things wrong, but I'm pretty much okay. But God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this is why we need a Savior. Man says, well, if I don't take care of myself, no one else will. Haven't you ever heard that? Oh, yeah. If I don't take care of myself, nobody else is going to take care of me. But what's God say? God says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God says, if you honor me, I'll take care of you. Do we believe Him? Man says, no one can really understand my problems. Well, I've got a little news for you. God says, if you seek me, I'll help you through your problems. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. See, man feels like he has problems that can't be solved. God's saying, look, you look to me, you allow me to help you in your life, if I'll be faithful to you, I'll make sure everything works out. Man says, now listen, love and marriage is for meeting my own needs. God says love and marriage is putting the interest of our spouse above our own and reflecting Christ in our marriage relationship. Notice what the Scriptures say. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even Christ is as the head of the church, and He is a Savior of the body. Husbands, don't get out. Husbands, love your wives. How? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. So if we follow what God says, love and marriage works out great. We can have heaven on earth. You see? Man says, it's okay to justify our hurts hurtful actions and give excuses for our behavior. That's what man says. What does God say? God says, if you've offended somebody, you need to go to that person and ask forgiveness and be reconciled. That's what God says. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer the gift. So if you want a right relationship with God, you have to be in proper fellowship with your fellow brothers and sisters. Now here's man's view of leadership. Leadership is self-assertion, taking charge, giving orders. But what does God say? In Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 to 28, "But it shall not be so among you," he told his disciples. "But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." That's why I appreciate the workers in VBS and camp, because they've ministered. They've been servants. See, if we could get everybody in the church to be a servant instead of being served, oh, it would make such a difference. We'd have revival. We'd have revival. And then man says, "I must defend myself and not let others be critical of me." That's how man talks. I've got to defend myself. But notice what God says. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." The person that sees the mote in another person's eye has a beam in his eye. The beam is a much bigger piece of wood than the mote. The mote would be like a splinter, whereas the beam would be like a log. Okay? And, you know, we're always wanting to judge somebody else. Well, God says, examine yourself. Die to self. Do not judge others. Instead, be a blessing to them. You see. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, the Bible says, "And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." You want to make the most out of your life? Follow Jesus. Do what the Lord wants done. Obey His commands. Do His bidding. You try to save your life for yourself, you lose it, according to Scripture. In Luke chapter 6, verses 36 to 38, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." That's Jesus speaking. That's in Jesus' words. Man says, "Well, I must get all the money I can while the getting is good." You know, if it sounds too good, it's not good. I remember one time my dad telling me about when he was young. He had a car, And a man came up and said, "Listen, I know how you could make some easy money." My dad said, "How much?" $200. Now, back when my dad had a car and he was just a little older than you young people, $200 was a lot of money. I mean, a lot of people back then, they lived on $20 a week, and the guy's going to give him $200. What do I have to do? He says, "You go to so-and-so place, and you pull up, and you just sit in the car. Someone will come to the back of your car and open it and put something in the car, and then you drive your car back to another place, and you stop, and when you stop, somebody will come and open the trunk on your car and take what's in the trunk of your car out, and when they have taken it and disappeared and shut your trunk, you crank your car up and drive off, and you've got $200. Sounds good, doesn't it? Do you know what they were wanting him to do? They were wanting him to haul bootlegged whiskey over the county line. And if the police stopped him, he would be the one in trouble, not the ones that were trying to get the bootleg whiskey across the county line. You see, if it sounds too good, it's not good. Watch out. It's always good to do the right thing. Okay? So, all wealth belongs to God. Do you realize that? So don't try to get it illegally. Don't cheat somebody out of money, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. We are accountable to God. Don't do that. That'll come back and bite you later on. Okay? 1 Timothy 6:17 says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." You see, Proverbs 3:9-10 says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance." That means if God gives you $100, $10 belong to Him. That's the tithe. And then if you love God, you'll give an offering on top of it. And the $100 isn't after, you know, the $100 is before taxes are taken out. Okay? Tithe on the whole income, not just a part of it. Okay? Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Another thing man says, if you feel like it, do it. And don't worry about your responsibilities. There are people in the world that live like that. But God doesn't say that. God says that you need to obey God's word and do your responsibilities heartily as unto the Lord. John 14:15 says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Man says, if I go to church and do enough good, God will surely let me into heaven. No, salvation is not based on works. It's based on faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." By offering a perfect sacrifice for sin, Jesus made it possible for us to have salvation. And we need to realize that what God did through His Son, Jesus Christ, is a great blessing to every man and woman that's ever been on earth. You have to realize that you're a sinner and that you need to be saved. And you have to realize that you can't save yourself. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. But the Bible says we can believe in Christ and repent of our sins and we can be saved, you see. And you have to realize that God provided that way for us. And we have to rely upon Him. Now, I can say a lot more. I'm not going to say a whole lot more, but I do want you to realize that man's thinking is messed up. His thinking's messed up. The world's way of looking at things is messed up. And you don't get by. You don't make it with that. The only way is through the truth of the Word of God, faith in Jesus Christ, and His shed blood, can you really have true forgiveness of your sins and know that you're on your way to heaven. There's a little poem that says, I see myself. One day I looked at myself, at the self that Christ can see. In other words, God can see. He's looking down. He sees. He sees us. He sees our heart. He knows us, you see. He sees us. I saw the person I am today and the one I ought to be. So the man is looking at himself as he was, but I ought to be like this other person. I saw how little I really prayed, how little I really do. I saw the influence of my life, how little of it was true. You know, we can... Today I feel that most people are living in a fantasy. A fantasy world. They go see a movie that was put together, that and the ideas and the thoughts of it are all worldly ideas and thoughts. And just because the scenes were pretty or the people looked nice, we think everything is okay, and it's not okay, you see. But the fellow that saw himself, I saw the bundle of faults and fears I ought to lay on the shelf. I had given a little bit to God, but I hadn't given Him myself. I came from seeing myself with the mind made up to be the sort of person that Christ could use with a heart He may always see. You know, He sees your heart already. A lot of times we think just because the lights are out and the counselors are not in the room at the moment, we can do something and get away with it. Oh no! There's a God up above looking down with tender love. And He sees all. He knows all. We don't get away with anything. Nothing. So tonight, when you start thinking about building faith in God, that means you've got to believe that His Word is true. And believe the message is true. And place all of your faith and confidence upon that. And I'll guarantee you, if you'll do that, the way man thinks and the way man acts in the unsaved condition, it goes by the wayside. But if you follow the Word of God, as Jesus said, you'll live the abundant life in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's bow our heads for prayer.